What's up, fam? You ever have that one person who just doesn't do well with you being kind to them? Or maybe you are that person who just cannot take any kind of help from anybody. I used to be that person, and a lot of it had to do with insecurity. Some people say it's ego. Some people say there's just a lack of worth that you have of yourself, that you don't feel like you deserve something good happening to you or someone doing something good for you. Well, we want to break that down and dissect what it is that makes us so uncomfortable with kindness. We hope you guys enjoy this episode. Please let us know what you think. We love you so much. Here's Knights at the Roundtable. And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Roundtable. It's your boy, Man Weezy. We got the queen to the left.
Hello.
We got Be Real to the right.
Hola.
And we are here fresh off of Zoom call with our Patreon members, which is a new thing we're doing for season 5. If you don't know, we started a Patreon where everyone can be involved in supporting this podcast. It means so much to us. It takes a lot of work and money to keep it going. And yeah, you can get in for just $2. That's like the minimum. And we're going to give you extra content. Extra little pick-me-up videos from B, from me, from Ann, some Mangela podcast. And the top tier, which is only $25 a month, there's 50 spaces that we're allowing, and we're doing Zoom dinners, Zoom before the episodes to talk about the episodes, mm-hmm. Zoom hangouts, and just building and talking life. So if you're interested in it, that'd be cool. What we got going today? Storyteller.
Okay, ooh. So this wine, it's a really good price point. It's like $13 to $15, depending what store you go to.
It's deep.
It's a Merlot, which is probably why.
It smells good, too.
It's actually really good.
You've had it before?
I was sitting here drinking while I was waiting for you to come back.
Yeah, that's good.
I already refilled my cup once, so.
Did you really? It's good. It is
we'll
good.
We'll see
you,
how this.
You gave me a little bit of a heavy pour.
We're gonna finish this right now.
Yeah. Storyteller Merlot, Sonoma County, and it's delicious. So thank you so
thank you, Storyteller. Speaking of stories, that was my transition.
Really quick, though. Thank you, Storyteller, for being delicious. But we actually purchased this bottle. But if you would like to send us one for free, we will gladly accept. Thank you.
Yeah, what up, Storyteller, Sonoma County?
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Hey, so today we're doing a topic called Stop Being So Nice to Me. And the idea behind this was we have this amazing friend I will constantly do stuff for, or at least try to do stuff for. But every time I try, she's always like, no, I'm good. I got it. I'm good. I got it. And it started bothering me because I was like, man, I can see that you are not good and you do not have it. Why do you keep telling me that you are good and you got it at the detriment of you actually accomplishing what it is that you want to do? And so finally I was just like, yo, what's up? Like, why do you keep denying a blessing? And she was just like, I just gotten used to being on my own for so long and doing things on my own for so long that it just doesn't feel natural to accept a kind gesture. And that's when I was like, damn, so you've gotten to the point where you have tricked yourself into thinking that it's better to not get help, to try to do it on your own, whether it gets accomplished or not, more than likely fail, all because you feel like you are not worth someone helping you out. And that really rocked me, which made me think, if she's thinking this way, feeling this way, there's more than one person feeling this way. And we, in our Zoom call, we asked them, Jennifer was, and she mentioned that it was an ego thing for her. She wanted to feel like she got it.
Yeah.
And she didn't like the idea of not having it. So it was a very much an ego thing of putting that down in order to receive any help.
Or even ask for help.
Or even ask for help. She wasn't accustomed to asking for help. And so that's what I'm just like, I just wanted to bring to the table, which is like, I don't know if you guys feel this way. I've never felt, I don't mind asking. Well, stop. It depends on what we're talking about, because we live in LA and the only thing I ever really need is rides places. And sometimes when I'm getting my cars worked on or whatever, and I hate Ubering, because anybody who knows me knows that I got stomach issues. So I don't like being in a car that I don't have control over. So I don't like Ubering, so that's not an option. But whenever I need to get someone to take me somewhere to pick up my car or take me to the airport, I do feel bad, and there's very few people that I will actually ask for that.
There be times Manny needs a ride and I can't take him. And then he starts like stressing out because he's not going to take an Uber. And I'm like, why don't you ask so-and-so? Why don't you ask so-and-so? And he's like, nah, I'm not going to ask them because you feel like, why wouldn't you ask those people?
I feel fully confident in myself. But at the same time, and I mentioned this to Jennifer. I mean, I mentioned this to the whole
Patreon.
To the Patreon fam. I said, I'm okay with denying things that I wouldn't do for someone else.
Right.
Not that I wouldn't want to. It's just that most people like flying out in the morning, and the morning is when my stomach is the most insane, gnarly. So if they needed it, I would gladly pay for their Uber. Because a lot of people don't have, you know, the problems that I do. But because I wouldn't do that, I would do it midday, more towards the afternoon, because I'm like, okay, but not early in the morning. I am not your guy. So
I remember one time somebody asked me to take them to the airport, and I live out of the airport, like when I'm touring.
Right.
Like, always at the airport. And I finally had one weekend off, and this person asked me to take them to the airport. And I was like, no, this is my one weekend. I don't have to go to the airport. I'm for sure not going to go drop you off, but I will pay for your Uber. And they were so offended that I offered to pay for the Uber instead of take them.
Yeah.
And it caused a little strife for a little while, but I was like, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm selfish for that, but I'm going to choose to be selfish right now because I've been at the airport every single weekend for like the past few months.
And it's LA. You can't, dude, if it's a different place.
It's a journey.
It's
so
different.
Like, for those of you that are not flying out of LAX, like, it can be a hassle and a half. Like, because
it's an hour there.
Yeah,
hour
it's
back.
An hour there. You're trying to find parking if you go by yourself. So like, Maddie and I, when we travel, we always just go for Uber. Like, I legitimately hate placing that burden of traveling to that dark place called LAX to take us to the airport. And so, like, and even if we do have someone who we know take us, we always pay for their gas. Because I always just feel like, hey, I want to bless you because I know how hard this is. And legitimately, like, I would want to get paid if someone asked me.
Right. I will go stay at the airport hotel before I will ask somebody to take me to LAX. I will legit. Ange will take me to the Hilton right by the airport.
Be like, babe, can you take me to the airport tomorrow morning? I'd be like, no, I can't. I have a meeting. He goes, okay, then take me tonight. I'm going to stay at the hotel.
I would stay at the hotel and then ride the freaking car.
It's like 30 minutes away.
That, or I started driving myself because we have friends that live next to the airport, and I will park at the house and then Uber from there because it's only like a short 5-10 minute Uber ride. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that has nothing to do with the way I don't feel any negatively about myself. I just know the inconvenience. Even if people love me, even if they would want to do it for me, I will not. It's too much of a pain in the butt. I get it. So it's understanding on both sides. But when she talked about her ego and in another situation of what we were talking about earlier, it's that feeling that you are not, you don't know if you're worth somebody giving up time, money, whatever. I mean, there have been times where I paid for people like randomly because I like doing that. I'll be at a Starbucks. I'll be at a whatever. Somebody's behind me. I'll be like, what you want? Go ahead, order. And they, one time these girls, I was in Glendale Galleria and I was at the ice cream shop, the juice ice cream, the fake ice cream. And I was there and there was like four people behind me and I was like, what do y'all, all y'all want? I'm buying, right? So I pay for everybody's ice cream. The last two girls literally like wouldn't eat the ice cream. They followed me out of the door as if I was going to ask them for money back. Like, they wouldn't start eating the ice cream because they could not believe that I just paid for their ice cream. And that, what makes me sad about that is that most people aren't used to kindness.
Generosity.
And what does that say about us as a culture? That it's weird for someone to be nice to you.
Yeah, and it could almost be misinterpreted as, oh, there has to be behind this niceness, kindness, there has to be some dark, sinister motive behind this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you legitimately can't give a compliment without being seen as somewhat of like, okay, what do you want from me?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Which is, it was funny because when I was in the dating scene, it was like, I wouldn't even necessarily consider myself a huge flirt. I was just a nice guy. But that niceness was always interpreted as, oh, what do you want?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, no, legitimately, I think you have the most amazing eyes, you know? Like, it's not like I'm trying to get into your pants right now. And that's how it's interpreted as. Like, there was some motive behind it. But it's interesting because I think as Christians, right, we are called to love our neighbors. Mm-hmm. Now, again, this isn't actually, like, just the people who you're around in your neighborhood. Neighbors apply to everyone, anyone.
Who is right, not you.
Who is not you. Yeah. Exactly. So if we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves, like, that involves acts of kindness and generosity and words of affirmation and acts of service and gifts and sorts, stuff like that. So in the same way, it's like in the way that we are supposed to be giving that, it ought to be our culture amongst believers at least, but it's not.
Yeah.
And then in likewise, being able to receive those things as well, which I've struggled with probably more so in my life than actually being generous, was receiving this. And for me, it wasn't necessarily people doing nice things for me, because I think I was always in the place where people would like give me hookups and just having connections and stuff. But for me, it was actually like people complimenting me or giving me like, not necessarily encouragement, but like saying nice things about me. Mm-hmm. So like early on, I got really good at basketball because I worked extremely hard for it. And early on, there was a lot of people who would begin to be like, oh my God, you're the best middle school basketball player I've ever seen in my life. I've been coaching for 30 plus years, you know? So as a little kid, I'm thinking, oh yeah, hey. I'm the shit, let's go. Uh-huh. And then it was weird because there all of a sudden came this turning point right when I got to like about high school, where people, because I was in this place of just open to receive, you know? Like I was just like, hey, everything you got it, man, this is awesome. This feels great. And then all of a sudden, my confidence started getting interpreted as arrogance or pride. And so it was like, and I even had some Christian leaders who were like, hey, you got to humble yourself. So to me, it was like humbling had this connotation of not being able to receive those things and thinking like lesser of yourself. Of like, oh, I'm nothing. It's all God. Yeah. It's not me. Yeah. You know, it's nothing.
Yeah.
So whenever someone would give me a compliment, it was always filtered through that lens of like, wow. No, it's not me. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. And wow. I embodied that and internalized that shit, that mentality for so long that it actually got to the point where I legitimately started to feel about myself that I wasn't good enough.
Wow.
And this is where it takes me into adulthood. This is the thing that I'm actually still walking out to this day. Jeez. I've gotten a lot better. Like if people say something nice, I can receive it and be like, yeah, you're right, you know?
Yeah.
But deep down, there's always this little voice that says, but you're not actually that, Brandon. People think, oh, Brandon, you were so, man, I love your honesty and I love how authentic you are. But deep down inside, I feel like I'm a hypocrite. But it's not necessarily because I'm a hypocrite. It's because I just don't feel like I'm good enough.
Yeah.
So whatever it is that you're ascribing to me or trying to, the gold that you see in me, it's tough for me to see that gold in myself.
Yeah.
That's why I can't, like, when I was younger, it was very hard for me to receive those kind of compliments. But it's the same thing I've noticed for a lot of people. It's like, it's tough for people to accept being celebrated.
Yeah.
That's like a huge thing for people.
Even what you're saying about the gold, I see the gold in you. It's like somebody could say that to you because you've been through the refiner's fire, right? Mm-hmm. And you're this now spectacular thing. And they're like, oh my God, I see the gold in you. And that's amazing. And you're like, yeah, but I had to go through the fire. Yeah, yeah, but I had impurities though. Yeah, but I had, so thanks, but that was just, I had to be in that little process over here. You didn't see that part. And it's like, we all do. We all have to be in that process.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't deny that you are now this diamond, this gold, this whatever it is that people see, and people see through their lens and their filter, and they don't know all the faults and things that we wrestle with in our own mind.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's almost validation, like God and God's grace, like when someone gives us a compliment and we know that we're not perfect, it doesn't negate what they're saying about us. Like, it's almost like God's sending someone to say how we truly feel, even though we may feel dark on the inside or feel, shameful on the inside or feel whatever on the inside because I'm not perfect. And God's like, you're not supposed to be perfect. It's fine. Let me send Susie over here to say, oh my God, you're so talented.
Yeah.
And I feel like those could be like affirmations, like God saying, hey, stop beating yourself up. Susie, go, please tell him he's gold. Please. Thank you.
Well, I always think it's so unattractive when if you compliment somebody and then they brush it off. I used to do it all the time when I was in music and touring, and I would always get compliments. You're the best this, you're the best this. And I would always be like, well, be with you. Oh, it's God. Because I, you know, I came from a background where people tried so hard to make me out to be this like conceited, you know, whatever person. Even though I don't really like, if you know me off stage, I don't long for the stage. I don't like being on stage. I'm good at it. But I've done karaoke once in my life because I hate being on stage if I don't have to be on stage. I just don't like it. But I would always get so many people that, you know, complimented what I was doing and the talent that I had. And I would always just point it to God and deflect and deflect and deflect until somebody told me one time, like, hey, man, it's actually more honoring for you to just accept the compliment and say thank you, because to them, you are manifesting the multitude of talents and creativity that God has in his people. Like, to them praising you is a version of praising God. Some of them don't know because they think it just ends with you, but what they're really telling you is the gifts that God has given you, they're amazing. You can internally register their compliments, even though it sounds like you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing. Internally register it as, oh, what they're saying is the gifts that I've been given are amazing. Thank you, Jesus. And then just tell them, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Because at least they feel heard as opposed to dumb that they're complimenting you. Right. And you're telling them, no, 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 don't compliment me. It's all him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a false humility. Yeah. It really is a false humility because you had a part to play in it. Yes, God gave you talent, but mm-hmm. talents are all over the place. And right. there's a lot of people that don't take advantage of it. They don't use it. They don't do anything with it. So you had to do something to garner that type of praise. Internally, it's your job to make sure that you always understand this is God-given. I worked on it.
Right.
But the foundation is God-given. You know what I'm saying? So it took a while for me to really let that register that it wasn't conceited. It wasn't me being cocky. Mm-hmm. It was just acknowledging, God, you did something in me that's different than everyone else, and somebody's noticing it. Let me appreciate that. You know yeah. what I'm saying?
I have a very similar situation. I think it's a little bit different with women. I think for a guy can be cocky, and if they're like a good athlete or a rock star or whatever it is, and if they show confidence, sure, some people are going to be like, oh, he's super conceited or whatever. But for the most part, I think that's more widely accepted than a woman embracing herself and saying, yeah, I'm beautiful and I'm talented and I'm these things. I think it's a little bit different. And my story is one time I was a stand-in on a TV show, which means I'm on the set, and while they're getting the lights right, they're getting the staging right, they're marking the ground where the actress is going to stand for the scene. Like, I'm standing in her place with a little sign that says the actress that I'm pretending to be while they're getting their hair and makeup done. And then when we're ready to film, they come out on set, and then I leave and I go sit down. And so I was a stand-in on this TV show, and we had a guest actress come on the show. Her name is Meghan Markle. You may have heard of her. I'm not quite sure. She's like royalty and stuff like that now. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Ex-royalty.
Google. They still call her the Duchess, though.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so she was a guest star on this show. And she gave me a compliment one day. And she was like, you have such beautiful skin. And my instinct is like, oh, no, no, no. You have beautiful skin. Mm-hmm. My instinct was to deflect. No, you're wrong, but also let me compliment you.
Yeah.
Let me take the focus off me and put it on you, because I'm not worthy of what the things you are saying about me. So, oh, no, no, no. Let me show you this humble, even though at the time I knew I had not one pimple on my face. And I knew that people compliment me on my skin a lot because I did have very good skin. And so I knew what she's saying was true.
Yeah.
I knew it because I hear it often. Oh, you have such beautiful skin. I heard it often. So I knew it was true, but I wasn't allowed to say anything other than, oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
Please, I cannot accept these words, even if they are 100% true. Anyway, so I was like, oh, no, no, you have beautiful skin. And then she gently corrects me with just being super sincere. She was like, hey, it's okay to say thank you. If somebody gives you a compliment, it's okay to say thank you. I had never been told that. I had never been given permission to accept kind words about me. I'd never been told that that's okay. You're not conceited by saying thank you.
Yeah.
You're not full of yourself. You are not an awful person. Even if you agree with what they said, you're not awful. It's okay to say thank you and accept kind words. And that was in 2006. And those words have stuck with me to where when people would give me a compliment, I would now just say thank you. Thank you so much. And then maybe I would compliment them back if I meant it, you know? But I wouldn't feel obligated to sometimes just go, thank you so much. Wow. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, thank you. You as well. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I go out of my way to compliment people. Like what B was saying earlier, like I'll compliment any, I don't care who you are, and I'll just walk away. So if it's a girl that just happened to have a fly outfit on, I'll be like, yeah, that's a fly outfit. Those are whatever. And then I'll just walk away. So she don't think that I'm, you know, this
trying to hit on her.
Yeah, I remember one time,
and then I gotta come out the cuts, be like, it was just a compliment.
And
he just liked your outfit. That's it.
I found
it.
Her on Instagram.
Go on. Yeah. Hey,
did I ever tell you my story when I met Cindy?
And then I liked 10 of her posts after. It was fine. It was totally fine.
Did I ever tell you when I met Cindy Crawford? Remember at
Cindy Crawford?
You met Cindy?
Yeah.
Ooh, Cindy.
At, the Cross.
What you gonna call it? For those of y'all who don't know, Cindy Crawford, massive model in the 90s.
Do we have young listeners? I feel like everybody knows Cindy Crawford.
Okay, I hope so. She was at, where did Maddie used to work? The clothing store?
She worked at Maxfield.
Maxfield. Maxfield, Cindy Crawford comes in. I'm rocking my hair and one of my crazy hats. And she's shopping with, I don't know if it was her kids or her man. But anyway, she walks over to me and she's like, wow. That is amazing hair with an amazing hat. And my response was, thank you. Here, you want to try it on? Because you still look very good. That's what I told her straight over her face.
You still look very good.
I was like, girl, you look.
Girl, you 46. You looking like 26.
You still look very good. You want to try my hat on? She's like, no, I could never rock it like you. I was like, well, you know, some of us got good stuff. Some of us don't. I was just playing with her. But I was like, in the face of one of my biggest crushes ever, I was like, I'm going to take this compliment because I don't know if I'm ever going to see her again. And at least she's going to know this little boy is confident. I mean, she could have thought I was cocky, but we laughed about it. I don't think she was whatever. But hell yeah, Cindy Crawford, Maxfield.
Dude, that's pretty cool, man.
I'll never forget that.
Cindy Crawford.
What was one of your most memorable compliments that you've ever received? And think of yours, too.
Oh, man.
Go first so you guys have time to think.
Okay, yeah.
I already know mine.
I have a really great one, and then you have time to
think. I don't have a specific one, but...
This is very specific, but it's my favorite compliment ever. I was auditioning for the Oakland Raiders cheerleading squad.
Mm-hmm.
700 girls at this open call tryout at the Hilton in Oakland, California. I made it to the second round where you then learn a dance routine. At this point, it got cut down. Maybe it's like 300 girls now. We're in this big banquet room, and we're all learning choreography. Now, I am not a trained dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I was a cheerleader growing up, did Pop Warner cheerleading, which is very different. And it's very stiff, rigid moves, tumbling stunts, and like all that kind of stuff. And this was more dancing, like turns, pirouettes, point your toes, and pretty, and flowy, and like all that kind of stuff. I was not that girl. So I had never done dance training, and I'm here in this banquet room learning this very technical dance routine, and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I have rhythm, so I'm just selling it. I'm just giving it my attitude like I do, and I'm just like, yes, queen, doing all my stuff, whatever, and trying to do the turns. And I'm like, all right, I fell, but that's fine. Who cares? Anyways, the choreographer gets off the stage. She stops the music. She has her little Britney Spears microphone on, and she comes walking, weaving through the crowd. And she comes up to me, and she's like, clearly, you have no dance training. But you have something that cannot be taught. And that is the best compliment I've ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
Backhanded as it may be, I fully accept it because I know exactly what she was saying.
Yeah.
Is beyond the fact that I had no business being in that situation, trying to prove myself next to trained dancers. Mm-hmm. I had something within me that she can't teach that from the stage. All these other girls I've been training, I cannot teach them to do what you are doing right now.
Mm.
And that is something special and unique to you. And I've held on to that for years. I was 20 years old when I heard that.
Wow. Now, I don't have a specific one.
I have
one. You do have a specific one?
It sparked something in me. So I grew up playing basketball. It was the first sport I really remember playing. I played a little bit of baseball. And then I did Taekwondo, and I got my black belt, and I quit.
No, you didn't. You got that
little known fact about me. Like,
I never got past the white belt that came with the uniform. I didn't get past that one.
The starter belt. That's a little known fact about me. Whenever you're at, like, you know, those weird ice-breaking type event type things, and they're like, little known fact about yourself, people never guess that. I'm a black belt in Taekwondo.
Wow.
So
I always
I'm a weapon.
I want to see you get in a fight.
I've only gotten in
black
five.
Black belt, balloon animal.
I've only gotten in five. I'm 5-0, and I don't plan on making it 6-0. Maybe when I have kids someday. But so I, in fourth grade, actually, this was in fifth grade. I went to a basketball camp at UC Berkeley, also known as Cal. Okay. Had a great time there growing up. My dad used to take me to games there. It was 25 minutes from where I grew up. And I loved basketball. My goal is to play professional basketball someday. But after fifth grade, on the last day of camp, I told my dad, as a fifth grader, I said, Dad, I'm going to be the next point guard at Cal. And my dad was like, hey, I believe you. You could do it. Honor God. Work hard. Be coachable, you know, because the chances of that happening are very slim.
That's a word.
So in fifth grade, I had dedicated my life to make sure that I would work as hard as I possibly can to put myself in the position to get recruited by Cal someday, ultimately to receive a scholarship to play basketball there. So I am dedicated. I am in fifth grade. There was this guy, shout out to Ryan Price. He would come pick me up from the house at 5:45 a.m. and we would go to the gym. I'm in fifth grade, waking myself up. I'm like, let's get better. I got to get to Cal. So come freshman year, I make varsity, youngest player at my school in its history to make the varsity team. And literally the first varsity game that night, there is a couple scouts to come watch me play.
Wow.
Because they had heard of just like, hey, there's this talented freshman who's playing at De La Salle. And one of those coaches come to see me was an assistant coach at Cal at the time. So Cal had started their recruiting process with me as a freshman in high school.
Wow.
And they wrote me a letter, and it was a handwritten letter, which is important because sometimes they'll print out like hundreds. If you just get on a mailing list, they'll print out hundreds of like these pre-whatever written articles. Yeah, we're great. Look at all our school has to offer. And he wrote this, and I remember a couple things saying. It was pretty lengthy. And he just talked about, hey, you are an incredibly talented kid, and I hope someday that you would consider attending Cal to play basketball. And I remember I was reading that letter in the locker room after the game. I'm a freshman in high school, and I just started crying because it felt like, wow, this is the best compliment that you think this highly of me. And to me, I received it very well because I'm like, I know how hard I've been working for the last 4 years. And I know obviously the journey wasn't ending and I would end up going there on a full ride scholarship 3 years later. But it was one of the best compliments that my dream school that I wanted to go to was now saying, please consider us when you pick your school to go to.
Wow.
And it was such an awesome moment.
They gave me the chillies.
Man, I know I have serious ones like this, like meaningful ones. But all I remember, the ones that make me smile the most, so mine is a little bit more.
Me when I tell you have a cute butt.
Thanks, queen.
Me when I look at your face and I go, damn.
Thanks, queen.
Not those ones?
No, love my life. No, not, I'm not saying, I think the most, I always tell you this, I always tell people this, that the most, the compliments I love the most are when older ladies compliment me. Like, I always get complimented by older ladies, like older, older. And they'll just look me in my face and tell me exactly what they think about me. And I love it because they're so honest. They will literally be like, ooh, boy, look at you. You look so good. What? How old are you? They'll say all the craziest stuff. And to me, I'm like, oh, they're past their years of bullshit, you know? They're just going to tell me exactly how they feel. And they mean it. And it's going to be amazing. So I always, those things always make me smile and make me happy. Mm-hmm. And it could be about anything. But if I was to think of a deep compliment, I mean, I don't know. The only one that comes up is when Toby gave me a good compliment, but it was, I don't want to say backhanded, but.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I think that's a good story to tell.
When I was, oh, because everybody, you know, speaking on the lines of being cocky or whatever. So in my industry, I don't want to say everybody, but let's just say some people were running their mouth talking shit. Never to my face, because obviously if they said it to my face, we would have some problems and they would meet pre-Jesus Manny. But that's not how that industry is. It was all behind your back. So they were, there was, you know, it would say stuff like, man, he's all about money or he's cocky or he's whatever, da 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 da. So anyways, we're about to do this tour with Toby Mac, and it's his first time doing his Hits Deep tour, which is still going to this day. It's like his big tour. And we were on the roster, and it was one of the most amazing tours ever. All we did was play cornhole, basketball at every freaking major college, because we had, that's where we had all our shows. And we would play ball before the show. We would play cornhole. We had tournaments. It was just the most amazing fun ever. We get to the end of the show, the end of the tour, last show. We're doing our big tour party, and Toby stops the whole crowd and is like, we had probably like 50 of us that was traveling on that tour. And he was just like, hey, I just want to ask forgiveness, and I just want to say I'm sorry to somebody on this tour. And so he calls my name and he's like, Manny, I just want to say forgive me, forgive forgive us, the band, because, you know, we heard that you were, you know, difficult or like cocky or, you know, this type of person. But man, they were farther, they were so far from the truth. You have done nothing but love us. We love you. It has been a blast doing this tour with you, and we just want to publicly say we're sorry and forgive us. And everybody like clapped and thought it was a beautiful moment, and it was in my mind. I was like, who the fuck is talking shit about me? I was so angry.
That's what I want to know.
But look, at least at the end of the day, and this is what, if anyone knows me and they spend time with me, I know that that's the same outcome that they're going to come out with. And so it was good to hear him say that, especially in front of people, because it's something I do believe about myself. Yeah. You know, I don't lack that confidence about who I am. I'm past like figuring out who I am and being afraid of what other people think I am. It's like, yo, if you don't think I'm something, you can kick rocks. Like it's all good. But I don't, you know, the most important thing that I wanted to draw in this podcast, that I wanted to draw out of each person that's listening, is you have to be able to acknowledge and identify what it is that's making you say no or uncomfortable with kindness. Mm-hmm. If you can't find that, there's nothing more unattractive than a beautiful person saying no to kindness or pretending that they can do everything on their own. It is not weak to need help. It's weak to need help and act like you don't need help. That's weakness for anyone who can truly see into your life. With our friend, I can see into this person's life and know that this person needed help, but by her pretending to be strong, showed me that she was really weak. Hmm. She thought that she had to play this game, she had to play this charade, and convince me that she was strong enough to do it, while I watch her life kind of slowly fall apart in certain areas. So if you're that person, the most strong, and even biblically speaking, like, it, you know, God is attracted to our weaknesses. It's, you know, the verse that people always use, it, you know, in my weakness, he is made strong. And I've always taken that verse to mean that when I can acknowledge that there are parts of my life, that there are things that I do that I'm not the best at, that I need his help, that is the very reason and intention for his death on the cross and his sending of the Holy Spirit to guide and help and to assist, because we don't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
And I no longer think it's cool or smart or strong for me to be that person anymore. So now if I need help, I'm going to say it. That was the whole reason, you know, starting the Patreon, even though we did not want to do it at all. But a bit, like, you know, a little insight into my mind, it is hard to produce, edit, come up with ideas for anything, like start completely over while I'm still doing all the other things that I'm doing. And
paint the studio, order things, decorate.
So much stuff, which, mind you, is all coming out of our pocket. We're spending thousands a month just to keep this thing going, me and Ange. And we're honest because, you know, I can see myself in the future like being tired or getting like worn out or be like, man, I'm not going to be able to keep doing this at this pace. I need help. And which is why we started the whole Patreon thing, to see who else really liked what we were doing enough to be like, we'll support you so that you can keep going. Because to me, it is easy to keep going if I don't have to edit, I don't have to worry about this, I don't have to worry about that. All we have to do is come up here, talk, and be what we are. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it was important for me to let someone know, hey, I can't do everything. And even though it's on a very public forum, you know, I don't mind it because it's me letting y'all know in a very real way, I need help. So if you want to help, that's amazing. And I'm not afraid to expose my weaknesses anymore. Yeah.
And I think within that too, you see that people want to help and be of support. And when we put our pride down or our ego down, then we can see that people want to help and support. I think another thing, when some people could be listening right now going, I have no problem accepting help from people, I think this touches on our love languages as well, like acts of service, words of affirmation, quality time. What are the other ones?
You got gifts.
Gifts.
You already said touch.
Touch. And I think words of affirmation, acts of service, gift, touch, and there's one more.
Quality time.
Okay. So if somebody's love language is acts of service, they can easily accept help from people. When someone says, hey, how can I help you? Anytime you and Maddie come over and Maddie's like, hey, Ange, what can I do? And I'm like, guacamole. You can start prepping these veggies. Yeah. Like, I will not hesitate. I will not be the girl that's like, no, I got it. Everybody, it's cool. I got it. I'm like, oh, I'm about to get overwhelmed. Just do something, please. Thank you. Because that is a love language for me, acts of service. Yeah. Manny does all our laundry. He cleans the house. And that, he takes that off of my plate. To take anything that would overwhelm me off of my plate, I feel so loved. So I can easily accept help from people.
Yeah.
But some people cannot. Like, I have one of my best friends who does not like to ask for help because she doesn't want to be a burden to anyone. But then at the same time, like, her love language is like quality time. Like, she wants to just like spend time, but please don't help me do anything.
Yeah, that was when Maddie and I first got married, that was a little bit of her mentality. And I'm sure she wouldn't mind me sharing this right now. But when we first got married, it was like she had been so used to being on her own for so long that she thought, if I start to unload my problems and these things that I'm processing on you, that is going to place an unfair burden on you. I know you love me and I trust you, but I still don't want to be a burden to you. I could just process this. And so, like, especially within that, probably I'd say first 2 years, I would be on her all the time. And I'm like, this is what I am here for, you know? And it was funny because now we're at a different place. So it's better. She's like, has learned to open up in a lot of ways. But I remember there was one time, there was this one pastor. I don't even remember his name. I don't even remember where I was at. I was on some sort of ministry trip with my dad. And I am in high school. And he gave me a Pentecostal handshake, which means he had cash in his hand. But it was like a quick, like, cool, like, hey, want to bless you, young man. And I remember looking back. I put it in my pocket because you don't look at the amount right there. That'd be disrespectful, especially if it was like nothing. And you look at him like, All right. Yeah. Bless you too. You know.
I can't wait to eat this cheeseburger I'm about to buy.
Awesome. I love Skittles. And so I remember it being a $100 bill once I got out and I looked and I felt like I can't accept this. And so I went to go give it back to him and he said, "Hold up. What are you doing?" He goes, "You don't understand what you're doing right now by trying to give this back to me. You are withholding a blessing from God because God has blessed me in order to be a blessing through my life. So you stopping this right now is literally pushing back the hand of God that is trying to bless your life, young man." And I felt so like rebuked and convicted at the same time too. And I was just like, yo, that's really true. So like when I'm refusing to accept a blessing, it is like connected to the hand of God that is trying to bless my life.
Yeah.
So,
and in turn, blessing his.
Exactly. So it's like, if I am going to stop this person in front of me from being a blessing, whatever form that may come through, we both lose.
Yep.
I don't receive the blessing and he can't be the blessing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's a vice versa too. So it's like, I remember from that point, I always had this visual of like, God, every single day of our lives, in his unconditional love, is always reaching out to us in ways seen and unseen. And a lot of those moments, am I ready to be in that place to receive his blessing for my life?
Man, I know at this point in my life, I have open hands and I have no qualms receiving any blessings. Only because I know at this moment, we have outgiven those type of scenarios. Like the amount of times we have given is way more than the amount of times that we have been given something. So to me, I'm like, oh, if you give it, we're just gonna give it right back. Like it's, I don't feel bad anymore.
Pay it forward.
Yeah, it's so gonna get paid forward. You may do something nice for us, and I'm gonna be super gracious. You do something nice for me, I'm gonna be super gracious. But I have every intent and every desire that, oh, I'm just gonna give this away. Maybe not your specific gift, but I will pay this kindness forward because I know better now. I know that rule of thumb. I'm not going to take away somebody's blessing. I remember one time, ooh, best gift. Did we already do that one? I remember I haven't started my own music yet. I'm at Faith Assembly in Orlando and I'm praying and I'm like, God, I need $250 to make my first EP. That's what I need. And so I'm praying. It was a Wednesday night. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of the night, this little white girl comes up to me and I didn't know her from nothing. And she's like, hey, God told me to give you a check for $250. And I was like, what? This is, I've never had that happen before. Like a prayer answered that fast that same day.
And specifically?
Specifically. She's like, God just told me to give you $250. And I was like, oh my God, you don't understand. Like I was praying for it, blah, 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 blah. I took that money. I wasn't like, oh no. I was like, no, this is.
That's the Lord.
Yeah, this is like God. I took that money. I pressed up my first 100 CDs.
Wow.
And she don't know it, but look how far I went.
Yeah.
And that was my first, that was the only.
What's her name?
I don't even remember. I didn't know her.
White girl at Faith Assembly.
But here's the beauty of it. Every single thing I feel according to God, every single thing that I have done or accomplished in my music career, she will get credit for it. Everything I've ever done. In a heavenly perspective and a heavenly mindset, she will get credit for everything that I've ever done. Just because of that $250, she had no idea. She had no idea what she was doing. She just probably thought, and that CD was whack as hell. It was like a little, you know, I didn't even have a cover. I didn't even know how to do a cover, but it was the beginning. I sold those $250, made money to make the next $250, and enough money to make the next $250, and I never stopped. And, you know, two record deals later and still doing music. And
that's how I feel about my sister.
It's because of her.
She was the only person who was like, yes, go for your dreams. When I said I wanted to move to LA and pursue my dreams, be an actress, I knew nothing about being an actress. And she was like, yeah, go. She's the only one that was like that. And then when I was at the end of my ropes, I had no money left. I had no hope. I had no opportunities, nothing. I had no money to pay my rent, no money to buy food to eat, nothing. She would send me gift certificates to the grocery store so I could go get food and send me money to pay my rent because she believed in my dream and she believed in me pursuing my dream. So that's how I feel with my sister, like always not indebted to her, but kind of like my success is your success. So anytime I experience something amazing, I want her to experience something amazing because I would not be here experiencing this without you sewing into my life. Yeah. So I'm constantly wanting, like, what can I do for you? Like, how can I share what I have with you? Because same way, like,
I mean, think about that. Think about that, y'all. If you are the person that has a hard time giving or receiving, depending on what it is, just in those two stories alone, think about what you are preventing by denying kindness in your life. And it's crazy to even be talking about denying kindness. Work on accepting something kind because you have no idea what that kind gesture slash gift is going to unlock in your life. Did I know that that girl's $250 was going to turn into more than 250,000 CDs sold? You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, there's a couple double words. That's just one of five. I'm going to stop. You know, did I know that was going to happen? No. Did she know? No. But if she would have never gave it, if I didn't accept it with gratitude, then I wouldn't have a career. You know what I'm saying? So think about what you are unlocking by not only being kind and doing these things for people, but receiving the kindness and receiving someone treating you as you should be treated. At the end of the day, the thing that I'm trying to nail into our friend's head when I do kind things for her is this is the standard to which I feel that you should be treated. If you are not getting this type of kindness on a consistent basis from whoever it is that you end up with or whoever is in your life, they're not doing it right. There's a standard. We should be receiving of the kindness because we have done nothing but pour out kindness to other people. So we're just getting refilled to let it back out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't be a kindness hoard. Give it back out, but receive it. It's important for you to receive it because God is trying to bless you through somebody else so that he can take your life to the next level. Like for real, for real.
Yeah.
That's just my two cents.
Yeah, to me, there's one person. Obviously, my family, I think, man, had a huge part in me being able to accomplish what I accomplished in the game of basketball. But I mentioned him earlier, but it was Ryan Price. And he saw me at a basketball camp in fourth grade. And he came over to my dad and I on one of the days of camp, and he said, "You have the potential to play Division I basketball." I'm in fourth grade.
Wow.
And he personally never played at that high of a level, but he played in college and he saw something in me and he invested in my life for years from that point on until he had moved down to Orange County my freshman year of high school. He was working out with me on a weekly basis, like treating me to breakfast sometimes, wasn't charging my parents any money. He just really believed in me. And like, I wouldn't have become the player I became without him in my life.
Imagine if y'all would have responded to him as in people who felt in debt.
Yeah.
The amount of like, I'm going to miss this one. I feel bad. He's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Instead of just taking what he really wanted to give to you.
Yeah.
Imagine if you treated it like he's
with
a debtor.
False humility.
Yeah. He literally told us, he's like, "You're going to play Division I basketball and I want to help you get there." Like, it was literally an act of this, like, selfless love kindness to invest into this young man. And the talks we would have riding to the gym and back from the gym about life and growing up and all these sorts of things. And, like, we still talk a ton. And I'm going to be able to pay it forward with his kids. His boy is now at that age where I'm like, yo, send him here for the summers. Let's train. You know? So it's like, I feel like it installed something in me of, like, man, the greatest way to say thank you for receiving this gift is to now do that for other people.
Yeah.
Which is literally what I do today. I train kids and I mentor young people. So it's like, man, the seed that he planted in my life becomes a tree that becomes a blessing for so many other people. And that's the thing we forget and we lose sight of, like, man, this little deposit that you're placing in someone's life, this little seed, you don't understand the potential of how fast and how big and wide this seed can grow into this thing. And people, like Jesus, he likens the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Now, granted, this is a different situation, but he says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed which grows up and becomes a great tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in it. What he essentially was saying was, this thing, this seed, has the potential to grow into something so big that everyone around this is going to be blessed by this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Man, we just got to remember that, y'all. Like, if you can, if it's ego, set aside ego. You know, that ego is can be your worst enemy. If it's false humility, set that aside. If it's just the feeling of lack of worth, set it aside and start receiving the goodness of what God, the universe, you know, everything that's around you has for you. And you don't know what that's going to unlock in your life. And even more so, you don't know what it's going to unlock in that other person's life. You know, it is a pay it forward type thing. It is a reap what you sow type thing. So we are encouraging you. Open your heart, let down your ego, let down your mind, let down whatever it is that makes you feel unworthy. And the next time somebody has something that they want to give to you or do for you, just say yes with so much gratitude that it lights their faces up. Because I know that's what would happen to me if I gave something and somebody just genuinely accepted it and had so much gratitude in their heart. It would make me feel like, wow, I did something of worth today. So don't rob yourself. Don't rob the person. And pay it forward yourself. And you'll see. You'll get it. Once you start paying it forward, you'll get it. Why it's important to receive and then continue to bless other people. So anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We appreciate you guys sticking around. For those of you who don't know, we are on YouTube. We're on all the places. So come check us out. On the Mind of Banny channel, or actually Manuel Reyes Media channel is where it's at now.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm doing media. I'm doing other media stuff. I got mics. You
know? It's the media, man.
I got
mics. Just lying to
I got mics and cameras.
But, I mean, I don't know. With that name media, I thought you were a Christian. But
be careful.
Come
media
find us.
Is the enemy of God. So.
Come find us and subscribe. It's so important. And if you like what you hear, share, Instagram, all that good stuff. And hey, Patreon fam, thank you so much. Patreon.com/NART. Nights at the Round Table. NATRT.
Yeah. NATRT.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the description everywhere. So, yeah, NATRT. All right, we love you guys. And like we say at this time, we pray that you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always truly welcome at ours. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.